We invite you to take your Bibles and let's turn to 2 Kings chapter number 23. 2 Kings chapter number 23. And we last looked at the evil reign of Jehoahaz, who was Josiah's youngest son, who was put on the throne by the people of Judah after Josiah passed. And we saw how Jehoahaz was dethroned pretty promptly by Pharaoh Necho, the Egyptian ruler who had killed Josiah. And Jehoahaz reigned just 3 months on the throne of Judah. He was captured, bound, carried away to Egypt, never to return to Judah again. In fact, he died in Egypt. Now, the next king up for Judah tonight is the evil reign of Jehoiakim. That's who we're looking at tonight, Jehoiakim. And we're in 2 Kings chapter number 23, and let's begin by looking at, we see Jehoiakim was placed on the throne by Pharaoh Necho. Look at 2 Kings 23, verse 34. 2 Kings 23, verse 34. And Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, and took Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. So Pharaoh Necho is the one that replaced Jehoahaz with what amounted to a vassal, or we might call it a puppet king. That is one who he could control and be subject to him. I'm sure he pointed to his half-brother and said, if you don't want to be like him, you do what I tell you to do. He was more than willing to be able to do that. And so the pick was Jehoahaz's two-year older half-brother, Eliakim was his original name, Eliakim, whom Necho renamed to Jehoiakim, which maybe he thought sounded more kingly in the Judean tradition than Eliakim. We talked a little bit about the meaning of those names at the end last week of our Bible study. Pretty close in meaning. It's just Jehoiakim sounds like a lot of the Judah kings. Or maybe it was really a slap in the face against the Judean king to place him on the throne and give him a name that means Jehovah elevates or sets up. Jehovah elevates or sets up. Because that would imply that Jehovah, God, was behind Necho having killed his dad and brother, and putting him on the throne to be Necho's puppet. Well, that is indeed the case. God's the one that sets up rulers and pulls them down. And so God, the Lord was the one behind that. But we're going to refer to, I know his original name was Eliakim. That was the name he's born with. But what is used in Scripture is Jehoiakim. So we're going to refer to him as Jehoiakim. Now, secondly, in verse 35 through 37 here, we see the evil reign of Jehoiakim in Judah. First, we see Jehoiakim and Pharaoh Necho, the relationship there. Look at verse number 35. And Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land of everyone according to his taxation to give it unto Pharaoh Necho. So Jehoiakim was nothing more than a puppet king who was presiding over Judah that had become nothing more than a vassal kingdom under the Egyptians and a buffer. They were a buffer between Egypt and the Babylonians, who were rising in power at this time. And so they got this buffer that's there. And in order to pacify Necho, Jehoiakim imposed heavy taxes on the people of Judah and then paid that money to the Egyptians as required. Now, as far as Necho was concerned, that was all Jehoiakim was good for. That's all he wanted out of him. You just tax the people and give me the silver and the gold. That's what I want. I want the silver and the gold. You can do whatever you want to, but I want the silver and the gold. And so that's what he was doing. And I want you to hold your place here. And we'll come back here in just a moment, but I'll flip over to Jeremiah chapter number 22, and we'll see Jehoiakim and his relationship to Judah. We don't see much of that relationship spoken of in either the King's account or the Second Chronicles account. There is a corresponding Chronicles account in Second Chronicles 36, verse 4 through 8. But I want us to turn over here to the prophet Jeremiah and see what was going on here in the midst of the heavy taxation of the people of Judah to pacify this Egyptian king. The prophet Jeremiah reveals to us that Jehoiakim was wasting resources on the construction of a new palace for himself, and he was doing that by the way of forced labor. He was putting people to work, and he wasn't paying them. Now take a look at Jeremiah 22, begin reading verse number 13. And here's a woe pronounced upon him. And this is speaking of Jehoiakim, and we'll see it at the end. It actually brings his name into it. It says, "Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness," and that's what Jehoiakim was doing, "and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not for his work." Now, Brother Tom, I know you're in that labor business, making sure folks are taken care of legally, right? And he would have had a problem with you, wouldn't he? And you could have took him to task on that. But verse number 14 said, "That saith, I will build me a wide house and large chambers, and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar and painted with vermilion." In other words, he's building this elaborate palace here. And it says, "Shalt thou reign because thou closest thyself in cedar? Did not thy father eat and drink and do judgment and justice, and then it was well with him?" Now, speaking of Josiah, remember we saw Josiah was a good king. He was the most godly king of all of the kings of Judah. And so he's speaking of his father there. And he said, you know, you ought to take something from your father's reign and understand how things supposed to be. Verse 16 is pointing to Josiah too. It says, "He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well with him. And was not this to know me, saith the Lord? But thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy covetousness, and for to shed innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence to do it. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim," there's his name, "the son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, my brother, or Ah, sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, Lord, or Ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem." In other words, he was going to have a disgraceful burial. It really wasn't even, we don't even know that he was buried. But we see that he was not a very good king to the people of Judah. And we see also Jehoiakim and Jehovah. Hold your place here for just a minute, and I'm going to flip back to 2 Kings 23 in verse number 37. It says, "And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done." Now, in Jeremiah 22 and verse number 21, look at what verse 21 says, two verses down from where we left off. It says, "I spake unto thee in thy prosperity." This is the Lord speaking unto Jehoiakim there. I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidest, I will not hear. This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. So we see that flip over to Jeremiah chapter number 26. Jeremiah 26. And verse number 20. Jehoiakim, just like his half-brother Jehoahaz, did not follow the godly example of his father Josiah. And according to Jeremiah 22:21, that went all the way back to his childhood. You know, he said, I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidest, I will not hear. This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. Then Jeremiah 26, look at verse number 20. Verse number 20. It says, And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. In other words, what this Urijah was speaking was consistent with Jeremiah's prophecies. It says, and when Jehoiakim the king, verse 21, when Jehoiakim the king with all his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. And Jehoiakim the king sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched forth Urijah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim the king, notice this, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. So Jehoiakim escaped. Jeremiah escaped Jehoiakim, but Urijah did not. Jehoiakim personally slew that prophet, Urijah. Now, look over in chapter number 36 real briefly. Just a couple of things here. Chapter 36. And we see here in verses 1 through 3, Jeremiah records the Lord giving Jehoiakim and Judah one last chance to turn back to him before he brings down the hammer on them. And Jeremiah dictated what the Lord said and had a scribe named Baruch write it down. Notice verse 1 through 3 here. Jeremiah 36, verse 1, and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. And notice that verse 3. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. The Lord had been very long-suffering with them. The Lord had been very patient with them. The Lord gave them chance after chance to turn back to him. Here's one last chance. Look at how Jehoiakim responded. Look at Jeremiah 36, look down to verse number 22. And this describes the great ungodliness of Jehoiakim in cutting and burning the scroll of God's word that Jeremiah received of the Lord for him and Judah. Notice verse 22. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he is referring to Jehoiakim, okay? He cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. So the Lord didn't get through to them. Jeremiah could not get through to them the word of God. They turned a deaf ear. In fact, so much so that he cuts the Word of God up, throws it in the fire, and says, I'm done with that. Well, he thought he was done. In response to this, Jeremiah received another message for the king from the Lord. Look at Jeremiah 36 and verse number 28. Jeremiah 36 and verse number 28. Here's what the Lord told him. He said, Take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. That gives you the idea that he wasn't buried. Okay. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not to me. They didn't listen. And so we see there in verse 32 that Jeremiah took another roll, gave it to Baruch, and he told him the words again, and he wrote all those words, and it says there in verse 32, the latter part of it, that this scroll had all the words of the first one that he wrote that got burned, plus many like words. So Jehoiakim was his own worst enemy by his disobedience to the Lord. Now we see Jehoiakim and Nebuchadnezzar. Because that's what's coming. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, the Lord said, I'm going to bring Babylon against you. And Nebuchadnezzar was the king at the time. Let's flip back to 2 Kings chapter 24. 2 Kings 24. And let's look at the first four verses here. 2 Kings 24. It says in verse number 1, in his days... talking about in the days of Jehoiakim. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Now, Jehoiakim had already been the servant of Egypt, and now Babylon's come up, and Babylon's taking care of Egypt and him at the same time. And so now he's got to serve Nebuchadnezzar. So he became a servant for 3 years, and then he turned and rebelled against him. Now this was around 606, 605 BC when that would take place. And we see what happens after he rebelled. It says in verse number 2, and the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldees. Remember the Chaldees? And the Babylonians are one and the same. Same people. And he says, not only that, in bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by his servants the prophets. Now, which prophets are we talking about here? Well, Isaiah, originally, in 2 Kings 20 and verses 16 through 18, we saw where Isaiah had brought the word. And then there were some unnamed prophets in 2 Kings 21, verses 10 through 15. And then Huldah, the prophetess, in 2 Kings 22, verse 15 through 20. I'm not going to turn and look at all that because we've already studied those areas. But those were the three that this is speaking of. And he says there, verse 3, there, surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. So Let me remind you that this is the second time in 2 Kings that we have seen interaction between a king of Judah and the Babylonians. Here the Babylonians come. The first interaction that we saw was in Hezekiah's day. Remember? Remember Hezekiah? There were some Babylonian ambassadors, spies. Remember the spies? They came as ambassadors and came as envoys, but they were nothing but spies. And Hezekiah foolishly took the Babylonian spies on a tour of the kingdom, including the royal treasure house. How dumb can you be? And Isaiah prophesied that they would return and carry everything off in 2 Kings 20, verses 12 through 21. Well, we see here the beginning of the fulfillment of that prophecy that Isaiah delivered to Hezekiah. And on top of that, the Lord was true to the word he sent to Jehoiakim and Judah by way of the prophet Jeremiah and other of his prophets. And the conflict between Judah and Babylon that led to the nation's downfall began during the reign of Jehoiakim. Now understand that the Babylonian Empire was begun by Nebuchadnezzar's dad, a fellow by the name of Nabopolassar, who died of natural causes right about the time that of Daniel 1 and verse number 1. According to Daniel 1, verse 1 and 2, Nebuchadnezzar first came and besieged Jerusalem during the third year of Jehoiakim's reign, and at that time, what's known as the first deportation took place. First deportation took place as he carried away certain seed of the children of Israel. We know some of those people. Daniel had three Hebrew children. We know them by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was their names that were given to them in Babylon. But they were in that first deportation. And he also carried away part of the vessels of the house of God and put them in the treasure house of his God there. Now, according to Jeremiah 25 and verse number 1, this invasion took place in the fourth year of Jehoiakim's reign and in the first year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. So Nebuchadnezzar, the change in the kingship there was just taking place. His dad had just passed off the scene. He was just coming on the scene, and he was making himself known in these surrounding areas. And the Lord was allowing him to do that. The Lord actually was empowering him to do that. According to 2 Chronicles 36:6, Nebuchadnezzar bound Jehoiakim in fetters to carry him to Babylon. Scripture does not say that he was carried to Babylon. What I suspect happened is that Jehoiakim agreed to be under Nebuchadnezzar's rule instead of Egypt at that point. When he was bound and he was fixing to carry him away, he said, "Well, look, let's strike a deal here." And so he did. So he was not carried away at that point. But he was bound to be carried away and then was under 3 years subservient king to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Jehoiakim and Judah became servants to Babylon instead of Egypt. And after 3 years of that, Jehoiakim had enough. He rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. And that didn't go well for him. Didn't go well for him at all, or Judah. Because when he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, the Lord sent these raiding bands of the Chaldees, the Syrians, Moabites, Ammonites, against them to punish Judah and destroy her for her many transgressions against the Lord. Now, 2 Kings 24, look at verse number 5 through 7 here. 2 Kings 24, verse number 5. It says, we see the death of Jehoiakim here. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Judah? So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers. That just means he died. It doesn't mean he was buried. Okay? He slept with his fathers. They died, he died. And Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his stead. And the king of Egypt came not again any more out of his land, for the king of Babylon had taken from the river of Egypt unto the river Euphrates all that pertained to the king of Egypt. So And we see Egypt is having problems too, at the same time that Judah is having problems with this king. And that's why Jehoiakim got no help from Egypt. I mean, he was subservient to Egypt, and you would think, here comes Babylon. He would go running to Egypt and say, hey, look, I need help. You know, if I'm going to continue to send you gold and silver, you're going to have to help me out. But there was no help from Egypt to deal with Babylon or the other raiders, because Egypt had its own problems dealing with Babylon. Now, Scripture doesn't say how he died, but we can be assured that Jeremiah 22:19, where it says, he shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. He wasn't buried, drawn and cast out. Next week, Lord willing, we'll see the next king up, another short reigner, Jehoiakim. And he's another piece of work also. And so we'll leave off right there and come back next week, Lord willing, and pick up in our study. All right, let's pull out our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs, and we'll be dismissed with this prayer.